It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back on the show. We got a superstar on the show now. He started his career at the University of Miami. He talks about the University of Miami a lot on game day. The Bear is with us. Chris Felica, Bear, good evening. How are you?
What's going on? How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for making the time for us here in South Florida. Who would have thought that on a weekend when Texas A&M is playing Alabama, that game day is going to Lawrence, Kansas? Is there a basketball game there?
Exactly. We're looking for a little Final Four type. We'll see. Jamie Dixon's crew headed on the road to try and dethrone the defending national champions. It's funny, though, but that's what I said over the weekend. And, like, I think a lot of people, like, thought I was being, like, sarcastic or whatever. You got the Red River game. You got A&M Alabama, which was a story of the offseason, or one of them with the spat between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. And here we are between a battle of two unbeatens. By the way, I think there are, four or five Big 12 games this week, and this is the only ranked matchup between them. So it's the beauty of our show. I've always said my favorite shows are the spots where we've either never been or spots we have never been in a long, long time. And just the opportunity to – a couple weeks ago, I was a little bummed that we didn't go to Kansas when they hosted Duke, which would have been, like, it's even more ridiculous than this. We had a great show in Tennessee, and here we are 2 weeks later as Kansas has reeled off a couple more wins.
Are you going to do the show outside, or are you going to go into Fogg Allen Fieldhouse?
I'm going to work my way into Fogg Allen Fieldhouse just as a visitor, that's for sure, to take in that place. But no, we're going to be set up outside, just outside the stadium, because it is a noon kick. We want to give opportunity for the fans to take in our show and then have an easy walk over to the stadium to take in their Jayhawks, see if they can move to 6-0.
They are playing TCU, and Sonny Dykes has got them playing really well. They just put 700 yards on Oklahoma. So is it TCU is that good, or Oklahoma's defense is that bad?
I think it's a little of both. If you look at what happened with Oklahoma the week before against Adrian Martinez, they couldn't tackle him or slow down the Kansas State offense either. So I don't know if it's something schematically. I don't know if he's I was talking with someone today, and they seem to think that he's trying to implement this 3-3-5 to try and maybe offset some lack of maybe impact players on defense, to try and confuse some people. But I think TCU is pretty good. It's funny. I actually got a lot of grief from the guys on the preview show this summer when they were asking about the Big 12, and they all picked Oklahoma or Baylor. And I kind of was like, I like TCU. And I kind of got a little jab at me. But I think TCU was a team that, look, we all love Gary Patterson, but I think they kind of needed a little bit of a reset button. Maybe he got a little stale. Maybe they kind of disregarded his message. He tried to implement a spread offense, and it just didn't work. And now they've got a couple of great receivers. They got Max Duggan, who's healthy. I don't think TCU is a fluke by any means. I think they should. I expect them to go on the road and win this week, and probably be a major threat to win this league.
What do you make of all the early firings of the head coaches, and what difference does it make? Why fire them early? What change is going to happen in October?
I think what it does is it announces to whatever coaches might be looking to move on or look for a job that, okay, I know this job is open. I'm going to got to go through the back channels to make whomever aware that I am interested in this job. I think certainly in the case of Wisconsin, it's an audition to keep Jimmy Leonard, because I know there's been talk there that he's kind of disappointed and unhappy with the way things have gone, and he might have been looking elsewhere, maybe an NFL coordinator position or another coordinator position somewhere else. But you kind of give him an opportunity to kind of learn on the fly and see if he is head coaching material. So I think those are the main reasons. But the one question I have with all of this is like, what happens with some of the ADs and some of the people who hire these people? They make the bad hires, and then they're going to fire the guy that they hired. I'll give him a bad deal and give him millions and millions of dollars to walk away. Well, why doesn't the school hold the AD accountable for making these bad hires? And at the same time, why do these people agree to these contracts with these ridiculous buyouts? They need to kind of like just stand up to whether it's the Jimmy Sexton to the world, whatever agent is like throwing stuff out there. Oh, if you don't give Mel Tucker $90 million, we're gonna go somewhere else. You know what? Fine. Someone needs to call the bluff and kind of save themselves from each other.
Well, in the case of Wisconsin, Paul Chryst had won 70% of his games. I think he had four 10-win seasons in 7 years.
Yeah, and he won a couple of New Year's Six Bowls. He got to the Rose Bowl, local guy, did everything right. It's interesting because I will say this. Having watched Wisconsin, Ohio State in Columbus a couple of weeks ago, they are really, really ordinary. They are nowhere near the team offensively or defensively that – we've become accustomed to in the last 10 years or so, while he's been there. So I get the move to try and maybe freshen the program and bring the offense maybe into the 21st century. But at the same time, boy, that's a lot of times moves like these are made with the expectation that you're going to improve yourself and things are going to work out. And quite often it doesn't happen. And I think there are a lot of people in Wisconsin hoping that the latter doesn't come true here. Yeah.
Your alma mater is favored this weekend by, I think, nearly 5 points over North Carolina. How is that possible?
I was going back and forth with a buddy down there, and I hadn't actually seen the line yet. And he told me, and I go, wait a minute, what? Really? I have no idea how they are favoring this game. I mean, look, I know North Carolina's defense is terrible, and they made Pine and the Notre Dame offense look great a couple of weeks ago in Chapel Hill. But at the same time, they have the best quarterback in the ACC, and they have an offense that scores a heck of a lot of points on a lot of big plays. And we saw the Miami defense give up a ton of big plays in that embarrassing loss to Middle Tennessee. So, like, I don't get it. The fact that they are favored like would scare me if I like North Carolina in this game, because in a lot of instances when Vegas hangs a favorite on someone that you don't think should be favored, more often than not, they kind of know a little bit more than you do. But that number was definitely curious. And look, I hope Miami goes out there and plays well on Saturday and they win. But they're going to have to get some stops because Carolina their offense is really, really good.
Well, I think we'll probably know early based on the last three matchups with Carolina since going into halftime, they've led 17-3, 34-10, and 28-10.
Yeah. That last meeting a couple of years ago was incredible. The one down at Hard Rock, where they have a couple of 200 yards backs. So hopefully defensively they'll play a little better, and hopefully offensively they'll obviously play a little bit better too. I think everyone's asked me, like, what's wrong with Miami? Why are they struggling? And I said, I think the first thing that I point to is the fact that you bring in Mario as a head coach. Everybody's excited. It's going to be this immediate turnaround, and you forget. And you think, maybe, you know what? I think a lot of people overestimated the talent and the players that might have been there to begin with and how much they lost. So I think that was the first thing. And then you have to realize you're installing an entirely different offense with an entirely different group of receivers down and a quarterback who might not be fully fit to it. Like, that's certainly not the style of offense that I think that really gives him the best opportunity to succeed and amplifies his great skills that you saw late last year. So, and then, oh, by the way, all the receivers that you had are hurt. So they're like really, but like everything that could possibly go wrong earlier this year has, and maybe it'll wind up being a situation where the pain and the struggles early in the year is maybe they get some guys back and they maybe get more and more reps and more used to Josh Gattis' offense. Maybe by the end of the year, we'll see a completely different team. And look, you don't want to put pressure or unrealistic expectations on them, but at the same time, look at the ACC. You're not dealing with a bunch of powerhouses for that spot in the ACC title game. I mean, North Carolina's defense is terrible. Louisville is terrible. Pitt just lost to Georgia Tech. Virginia's a completely different team offensively now. Brendan Armstrong looks nothing like the player that he's been. So it is crazy as it is to say and think about the possibility after losing to Middle Tennessee, like, you're still in the mix to get to the ACC title game. And I think that's what the goal and the expectation need. Like, I think Mario really needs to sell that to his team. Like, hey, yeah, that was one game. Everything is still right in front of you in terms of being able to chase a potential conference title.
Well, Pittsburgh won the championship last year, the ACC, and lost to Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Directional Michigan.
Yeah, Western Michigan. Yep.
Yeah. So Pitt was able to overcome that.
I think they gave up, and I think they gave up over 50 points in that game as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they got bombed. I would say this too for Mario and for the University of Miami, they're going to recruit players. They're going to go after. They're going to contend or try to contend with Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State. So a lot of that because those players are here. And Miami finally has the guy that can go in the house after Nick Saban or after Ryan Day or after Kirby Smart that has the same charisma and credibility.
Totally. And I think that's the thing that maybe why people expected a great year for Miami, because Mario did a good job last year getting some guys coming in late and salvaging that class, and he's gotten a lot of commits. And I think it's kind of the same thing with Texas A&M. Like, all because you got these recruits, but they're not there yet. Like, it's going to be 2023 before you can even start to see an impact, and maybe even 2024 where you're finally contending for a 12-0 a spot in the college football playoff. But you're right. Matt Mario gives them instant credibility. Is, I mean, he recruited South Florida while he was at Alabama and got all those great receivers and whomever else from South Florida to go to Alabama. And look, he's going to do a great job recruiting and bringing guys into Miami. So everyone just needs a little bit of patience. And I know that's hard because it's been a while since Miami has been the team that you and I remember from the 80s and 90s and how great they were in the early part of the 2000s as well. He gives them the best opportunity to get back to the team that we all remember and love so much.
All right, last thing for you. In 5 years, what is college football going to look like? Who's going to be where? What's it going to look like?
I think we're ultimately headed towards maybe like three super conferences. I think you're going to kind of see a Big Ten centric league with maybe 15 to 20 teams. You're going to see kind of like an SEC centric league of maybe 15 to 20 teams. And then you're going to kind of see everybody else of like 15 to 20 teams. And I think unfortunately it is going to be more amplified of the haves and the have nots. Where you're going to see an even greater gap between what we know is the Power Five right now and the Group of Five teams. I think you might even see a situation where NIL becomes more of what it was supposed to be. It's kind of a way for players who have excelled and brought success to their school. Maybe you're getting paid for that as opposed to schools using NIL as a way to basically pay and buy recruits right now. I think you're going to see a playoff expand. I think you might even see a pay scale in college football where freshman, sophomore, junior, senior get a certain amount of salary or stipend. Like I think all of this is on the table. And I think it's probably obviously going to be a bit of a lightning rod. It's going to be a little bit rocky to see how we get there. Things are going to pop up out of the blue, but we all love the sport, and I think we're just going to have to kind of improvise and adjust and just kind of accept the changes that we're going to see and go out and support our teams, because it's still something that we love to do.
Chris, always great to speak with you. Congrats on all your success. We're going to honor the 87 National Championship, by the way, on Saturday, 35 years. So I know that'll make you happy with your alma mater. And thank you for joining us,
that'd be great.
As always.
Of course. We get a little two-point conversion knockdown in the end zone there to commemorate the Florida 26-25 game to Doe Campbell.
That's correct. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk to Steve Walsh next on the show. Yeah, that's right. We'll do that.
Excellent.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much.
Have a great night.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.